Hey, it's Josh McDermott from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Girl Podcast.
Everybody, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
And I'm the Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 137. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show, The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the show, we play a list of feedback, so join the conversation.
You can give us feedback by sending email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can also leave us a voicemail feedback over thewalkingdeadgirl.com/voicemail. And you can also visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheWalkingDeadGirlPodcast. And we routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show. So obviously there will be spoilers. Make sure you've watched the current episode before listening. Well,
what'd you think of this one? This was the middle. This is kind of like the middle of the half of the season. Kind of.
Yeah. This was really good. I liked all the scenes between Negan and Gabriel. It's about time that we got to see that side. And it seemed to be like kind of the Negan side of the war episode, because we got to see what happens when Negan's gone, which is, I think, was really important. I thought, when are we ever going to see, one, who Negan really is? And two, what are the Neganites, or whatever you call them, doing? What are they doing now?
The saviors, yeah.
Yeah, the saviors. What are they going to do? And we kind of see the way the hierarchy is stacked at the sanctuary, and especially when Gabriel and Negan come back, we see the effects of his reign.
Well, did we really see the true side of Negan? Because, I mean, we saw a little bit.
Oh, it was like a snippet. It was like a baby, a baby sliver.
Yeah, yeah. Okay? It wasn't that amazing.
I just think, I think that's all we're going to get.
I think the arc of the whole Negan versus Rick battle is going to last the entire season 8. This is kind of like 8 episodes, which is half of season 8. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have the Christmas holidays, and then after that, we're going to have 8 more episodes.
Right.
So I think it's going to be the full 16 is going to be the whole arc between Negan and Rick. So we saw a little bit of Negan, but we're going to see more of his personality, hopefully. Yeah, like you said, we saw
pretty much Negan, Gabriel, Rick, and Daryl. Mm-hmm. All groups of that I totally don't mind. And there's some interesting things I wanted to talk about. I watched the episode for a second time and still couldn't really decipher what was going on. Tell me if I missed something. Mm-hmm. But Dwight and Eugene are working together.
I wouldn't say they're working together.
But was there something that I missed? We didn't ever know. This is new, right? To us, at least.
Well, they might work together in the future.
But the way they were looking at each other, especially after the guns were distributed. And they're like, somebody gave him the guns. And then Dwight looked at his finger, is like, oh, are you responsible for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to play that out.
I'm curious.
But right now, it comes across like Eugene
is playing for their side now. Or for the other side.
I don't know. We don't know. It wasn't really clear in this episode.
Oh, Dad, come on. It was so obvious. He's the one that gave them the guns.
No. Dwight was the one who gave him the guns, I think.
No, because when they showed the bag, there was like spots of blood, and then they showed his thumb, which was bloody. So,
you interpreted it the other way. I interpreted it the other way. So you interpreted like, it wasn't blood. It was actually paint from the chest set. So yeah, you completely lost on this one.
Yeah, I missed something.
You completely interpreted the wrong way.
I watched it twice. I was like, oh, I'm still seeing the same thing. I don't know.
Your mind wasn't there. I get it. Well, basically what happened was, I think Dwight was the one who, now that you got me thinking now, but anyway, I think Dwight was the one who got...
It all was backed up by the looks they were giving each other.
Yeah. So Dwight was the one who gave the guns to the saviors, which I don't know why he would do that. Like, what was the plan there? But let's assume that he had some plan. He gave the guns to the saviors, and there was, so he was painting the chess set. Remember, it was wet. Eugene went into the room and said, "Oh, it's, don't touch it. It's wet," because he just freshly painted it.
Yeah.
So Dwight had paint on his hands from painting the chess set.
Why did Eugene look at his finger after he looked at the paint on the bag?
Because when Eugene picked up the chess piece, he got paint on his hand and it was red. And then he went to the meeting and the bag had paint on it, had red paint on it. So Eugene said, "Oh, Dwight was the one who gave the guns because he had paint on his hand from the chess set, so that's why it's on the bag." And he said, he's like thinking, "Oh, where did that red thing?" And he looked at his thumb. "Oh, it's red. It must be from the chess set. So it must be Dwight." So basically what that look was Eugene saying, "I know what you did last summer." Like, I know what you've been up to and you're the traitor. You're basically the traitor. But
Eugene doesn't know anything about Dwight.
At that moment he did. Once he looked at his thumb, he made the connection. Right. He made the connection. He connected all the dots. And he's like, "Oh, you're the traitor."
Why didn't Eugene say anything? Do you think Eugene?
That's the thing. That's why I said we don't know how it's going to play out.
I got it reversed. I got it totally reversed. I'm like, "Oh, when did Eugene switch sides?"
He might switch sides. He has two options. Either he's going to betray Dwight and tell Negan about Dwight, or he's going to support Dwight and keep it a secret and kind of confront Dwight in private and say, "Hey, I know you're the traitor. I want in on it too. I want to help." You know what I'm saying? So there's two ways it could play out, and they didn't tell us one way or the other. All they did was show us that Eugene knows about Dwight. That's it.
Okay. Now that clears it all up. I was just like, why is that chess scene so freaking important?
Well, that also has another purpose, because I think Dwight was using the chess pieces to send messages. I think he was writing something on the chess piece on the back of it and leaving it somewhere. So I think the reason why he painted it was to cover up the little messages on the chess pieces.
Is this a theory of yours?
In a previous season, I think he left a chess piece with some writing on it somewhere. Can't remember. But that's not important. But the important part is that it was a way for Eugene to find out that Dwight is the traitor. Dwight is the one that they've been... Because the whole episode was like, who is the traitor? Who betrayed us? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, we got to get this guy. There's no way that they had access to these guns. Somebody in here. And it was kind of just like a classic, like, who did it?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's pointing fingers at who.
And of course, you know, people, nobody knows, but we know. We know it's Dwight.
Right. Oh, yeah, we fully know. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Dwight's very smart. He's very smart. He's being so slick. When Dwight was about to leave to go get a smoke,
he gave the signal, and then the snipers took out the tower guards or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's how they synced up the timelines between
first
episode.
Dwight sent out a signal. Wait, who? No. It was Daryl that sent out the signal, and Dwight was waiting for it.
No, Dwight was...
Or what, did Dwight send out and say, "Hey, Gregory's here, make your move now"?
No, Dwight sent the signal saying, "Oh, the group..." Because the lieutenants were driving out, right? There's a bunch of cars that were driving out. And after
he flicked out the cigarette because he's like, "I'm going for a smoke." There you go. Okay.
He basically gave the signal that everyone's in here. Everyone's in the meeting room. Attack now, right? So he left the room. He left the meeting to go for a smoke. And he gave the excuse like, "I don't need to be here. I'm just a pawn. And you just order me to do what to do and I'll do it. I don't need to be in meetings to make decisions."
Right.
That's kind of how he played it.
Which is good, because then Negan's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, he's like, yeah, whatever. Go away, dude. You don't have to give me all that crap. Because later on in this episode, what's that guy's name? That second, not Simon, but the other guy.
Oh, the one, the more soft-spoken one that goes to the kingdom?
He said, "Don't you find it strange that now that we were, while we were in the meeting talking, all the outpost leaders were at the sanctuary, now they attacked us? How did they know we will all be here?" Right?
Dwight.
Yeah,
because
Dwight, yeah. Like I said, this is kind of the middle, and eventually we're going to get to the end of this half where I think Negan and the Saviors are going to regroup and something, because right now we're always winning, right? We're winning.
Yeah.
Our group is winning.
Despite the loss.
Right. This is kind of a temporary win, I think. I think we're just, we're going to win, but then we're going to get beaten down again. Negan is going to regroup and
re-strategize.
They're going to come back because Negan and his group are still there. They're still strong. They just can't get out. But
they've had this whole fortress, you know, and they've got tons of people.
Which it looks like they want to use them as fodder for the walkers.
Yeah, jeez. When Negan's gone, like all hell breaks loose because no one really thinks about the other people.
Which was an interesting thing. Yeah, so I think Negan's group is going to regroup. And at the end of the season, and we're going to have something really bad happen at the end of this half.
I don't want it to be another freaking, who are we going to kill now?
Well, someone's going to die. Someone has to die.
I'm sorry. If we go back to like, they're all lined up.
No, they're not going to be lined up.
I'm going to like stop watching this show because I'm like, then what was all this for? You know what I mean?
No, they're not going to be lined up.
What was all this for? Okay.
Well, they might. I don't know. But
oh my gosh. So,
who knows? But something bad is going to happen where we're going to be all beaten down. And then we're going to be twiddling our thumbs all Christmas and wondering when it comes back, what's going to happen. And then
I hate that.
And then our group is going to come back.
If they don't tie this, the midseason finale with a little bow, I'm not going to come back from the holidays. I'm going to stay on the holiday.
They're going to leave us on a bad note. Something bad's going to happen. I think Negan is going to come back and
it's okay if it's bad, as long as it's satisfactory. I'll say I feel satisfied on the inside.
And then for the last half of season 8, our group is going to bounce back from this bad thing, and then they're going to attack and finally
wrap it up,
beat Negan to the ground and kill him or something.
Right. There has to be some last ditch attempt. And I think right now we're already heading to bad waters.
Yeah. I don't think Negan is going to last for season. I don't think he's going to come back after season 8. I think, well, depends.
I'd really like if they didn't.
I mean, they could do a governor where he just kills everyone, takes the truck and runs away.
Yeah.
Remember what the governor did? He just like, he killed everyone with his machine gun and then just took two guys in a truck and ran off. And that's it. No more governor.
Yeah, that was it. That was the end of that.
Like, what? What?
Just wrap that up right there, all nice and neat. Well, God, the governor was only the governor with his people. And then now that he doesn't have his people, he's not the governor.
Yeah, and then he became a wandering hobo. But I don't know if Negan will stoop to that. I mean, he could.
It's possible, but I feel like Negan's very adaptable. The governor was very delusional.
I think people hate him so much, and they don't like the way they don't like his Negan-ness.
Oh, compared to the comics?
Well, no, I mean just in general, he's just an annoying bad guy. Like the way he talks and everything.
I hate him so much. Only recently has it been bearable because there's so much going on. You can't stay too long on him. But when they first introduced him, I'm like, well, these episodes are so freaking long when he's in them.
Yeah, it's they like, feel long, right?
It's like, I get it. I respect the character. I'm sure the character's great on paper, but on screen is a great actor. I don't see anybody else playing him. I just don't feel that he's very real. You know what I mean? I feel like he's always kind of like breaking the fourth wall. He's like, hey, see what I built here? Huh? Mm-hmm, huh? Mm-hmm. Look how cool I am.
These crass, you know, bodily part jokes.
Yeah, like when Negan came back, he's like, I ain't dying until I'm good and ready. I got my leather jacket, Lucille, and steel balls. I'm like,
He rhymed too.
Okay. That was like cringeworthy. And it's like he's almost playing...
Yeah, he was.
It was just too much.
Yeah, it is too much. And so just because of that, I think he has to die and people will be satisfied for that.
I feel like he's just like a distraction from like the storyline.
No, he is the storyline. Like he's basically The Walking Dead is Rick. We know that. And Negan
is the antithesis.
Yeah, Negan is his the foe that Rick has to fight. So we're just watching this play out.
He's like the main boss.
Yeah. So he has to be there. And that's the whole point of this is Rick versus Negan, and we'll see how it ends in this season. But it's interesting. So let's get into the episode. We see Gabriel in the Alexandria Church, but I made a note here for myself that they start off the scene with black screen,
mm-hmm, and
he's like, I might die, I might very well likely die, And I thought, oh, he's in the trailer saying this, right? Because they started with black screen. But right. They fooled us. He wasn't in the trailer. He was in the church.
What a deception, Dad.
Well, because like he's talking to God, not necessarily Negan, right?
Yeah. Well, this is like the preface to where he is now. Because he wants to, because in when he was talking to God, he was talking about asking for purpose.
Right.
And, you know, I think maybe in his whole purpose wasn't what happened in the trailer, but a part of it was, because we all thought Gabriel was going to die for sure. But yeah. We ended up gaining a little bit. He's the only person was that we were able to get out a little sliver of humanity from, not even really humanity, Negan. But it's some kind of realness from Negan. And that's a purpose for me. He did his job.
Well, and Gabriel doesn't like fruit. He doesn't like being without fruit.
Oh my gosh, Dad, you're so cheesy.
He fears a fruitless death.
What I fear is for fruitless death.
I want more fruit.
More fruit, please. I don't know what accent that was.
So that is basically his main story arc. When we first saw Greg, Gabriel, because it starts with G, I'm sorry. Gabriel, when we first met him and throughout his story, his biggest regret in life was that he locked out his parishioners.
That is like the low. That's today. Like, out of everybody in the show, he's the worst.
That's gotta be the worst. Like, a rally.
It's gonna be so bad.
Like, come on.
Really? Like, actually? Sorry.
So that's the worst. And he feels like he has no purpose in life. So I think Rick and the Alexandrians gave him that purpose, like to fight for something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough. So he still hasn't reached his pinnacle of achievement in his life, in his character arc. So I think coming like towards the end of the episode now,
yeah.
You know how he's like sick and he's like in the
yeah, you think this is time to go?
Well, it's time to go. And before he goes, he has to fulfill his destiny, which is to be a fruitful death. Like, he's going to die fruitful with a fruit.
And okay, but what? There has to be something else, because that whole Negan thing was not enough.
No. I think it is to get the doctor to Maggie.
Yes, I agree.
And that's what he said, because Eugene says,
Dr. Carson.
2.0.
Dr. Carson. Yeah.
Calling Dr. Carson. Dr. Carson, please, Dr. Carson.
I think that's the purpose he's talking about. I think Gabriel's purpose is to bring Eugene back to the other side by getting Eugene to help Dwight, maybe. Mm-hmm. But main goal in his vision right now is to get Dr. Carson back to Hilltop. Right.
And
that's what he knows he can do.
And once Gabriel accomplishes that, he can
He'll
die.
Be free to pass.
Yes, yeah. He can pass. Now, the question is he really sick or is he faking it?
No, he's sweating, Dad.
Yeah.
You can see, if you look at his complexion, it's pale.
Yeah, so it's hard to
fake that, man.
It's hard to fake that. And
just got a makeup kit.
It could be because he had all those guts on him, right?
Right, because they talked about it at the beginning. He's like, you ever done this? He's like, yeah. He's like, you know, some people get sick from this. He's like, well, I'm from Georgia. He's like, all right, enough said.
Some people get sick. Hint, 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 wink, wink. Maybe this will happen to you. Oh, it actually did. Oh, well, honey, how about that?
All right, exactly.
Because if they didn't put that line in there, we would have said, oh, he's faking it. But that's why they threw that in.
Yeah, we would see why that would come. Like, because we've never ever had an issue with that, with people covering their guts and then they get sick.
Right. So
that was a new fact for us that it's like
in Fear the Walking
Dead.
In Fear the Walking Dead, they use walker guts as makeup.
Nick lives in the blood, okay? His first outfit is that old man Jack he stole off a dead guy. And his second outfit is the blood, okay? So I don't want to hear this, oh, you could get sick from it. BS.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we need to talk about the crossover between...
Oh, yeah.
The crossover announcement. So we'll do that at the end of the episode. So if you guys want to hear our opinion about that, you can listen to the end. But let's continue on with this episode. And we get a little bit of flashback, which is before the meeting. No, sorry, before episode one of this season. Because all we saw was when Rick arrives at the sanctuary. We see them coming out of their meeting. And yeah. Negan says, I was just at a meeting. And it's like, yeah, BS, you're not in a meeting. And actually, he was in a meeting.
But he was in a meeting.
But we saw before even that where Gregory goes... I'm sorry, but the dialogue between Gregory and Simon was...
so weird.
It was horrible. It was just horrible. And
really bad.
Like, it was so much exposition and fake. Like, it didn't seem...
It was supposed to be like, I understand what it was trying to do. I think it did it okay. It was just trying to get Simon to be like, okay, look, dude, stop sucking up to us. Just get the information to Negan and we can all move on.
Yeah, it was interesting how Simon actually...
Was taking the side of...
Was taking Gregory's side and like, yeah, I support you.
Well, because if he doesn't, I think he could see this as a leg up in with Negan, right? He's like, look, I found information about why this and this might happen. And I don't know why he was rooting for Gregory so hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he feels responsible because Hilltop is kind of Simon's responsibility.
Well, was Hilltop Simon's thing?
Yeah, Simon was the one that once showed up and would collect the stuff.
Yeah. I guess because Simon was responsible for Hilltop and all of this happened under his watch, right? Where Maggie came in and all that stuff. So I guess he wants to kind of fix it or make it seem like, you know, hey, we knew about this all along. We had it under control, so don't worry about it.
This is a bad thing that they're revealing that, hey, Maggie took over the camp and they're going to start a war. But I knew about it the whole time.
And it was kind of confusing because at one point he was saying, no, I didn't know. And then, yes, I knew. And
and there was a moment where he's like, okay, so I.
Because he is... So he knew about, he was trying to tell Negan about the first invasion, which happened at Alexandria, remember?
Where
so about that, but he wasn't meaning the last one. So, but anyway, it's kind of confusing. I don't really care too much. I'm not going into detail. All that we should get out of this is that Gregory didn't know about the Savior. He just knew about the Savior camp.
Mm-hmm.
He knew about the satellite outpost, and that's where he went. And then he met Simon there. And then Simon brought him to the main Savior location. And then we see Negan saying, I like killing the right people at the right time. And then Gregory says, I don't like killing people. And Negan says, I do like killing people. And then we talked about how Dwight left for a smoke. And then Gregory says, the Hilltop is mine. And he said,
I'm still the guy.
I am the guy. I'm the guy.
You're not. And I think Negan sees through that BS. He's like, no, you're not the guy. I think you're just a dick.
Yeah.
I think you're faking it. I think you're trying to play both sides. Because Negan sees that you're just going to pick the side that's winning. There's no loyalty with you. Yep. And I think, that's why I thought it was really funny that Negan used Gregory when they confronted everybody else at site saying, well, look what we have. And I was like, didn't you know that he was already spineless and could not be taken seriously? Mm-hmm. Why did you try to use him as a bargain chip? Like, why did you believe that he would get anybody to move to leave, you know?
And we see that in this case, actually, Negan didn't believe Gregory, but he just threw him out there as kind of like a throwaway thing. Like, okay, well, Gregory, you're up. You think you can do something? Let's see what you can do.
Yeah, and that makes a lot more sense now.
It was more of a throwaway thing. It's not like Negan actually believed it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But without the context, I just didn't know.
Because I think he wanted Gregory dead anyway. So it's like, okay, because he pushed them, you know, they ended up pushing him off the stairs anyway. For all they know, he could have been dead, but he didn't. So this was another interesting discussion. I have a theory behind this, but I want to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Where Simon says, oh, let's take a... So he used the phrase, let's take a flyer on the place and kill everyone there, which is I looked it up. It's a saying that means, a slang that means, let's take a chance and kill everyone and stuff. But Negan didn't like that. He went berserk, right? He said, no, we can't kill the people. They're a resource, money on the table. So this is kind of the basis of Negan's philosophy. We saw it before, right? Or he doesn't kill people randomly, willy-nilly. He kills them.
He kills them strategically.
Yeah, strategic killing. And for the most part, he wants to use them. And we saw that with like Daryl. And
right. Why do you think that when people do something bad, he decapitates? He punishes by removing hands or burning faces and, you know, doing things that are damaging, but not death because they still need those people. And it teaches a lesson to everybody else. So, yeah, it makes sense. Why will you keep the people? Why will you kill the people that are running the place?
And his solution to the whole war wasn't to get all these people and kill everyone. his solution to the war
is kill the right people.
Is kill Rick, Maggie, and Ezekiel. Which is
what he said. He's like, I like killing the right people at the right time. That's his whole thing. He's like, I don't want to go out guns a-blazing like they are. I just want to kill the people that matter, which is why he sent out that blast to put everybody the widow,
the king
and Rick.
Yeah, to kill those three.
Heads on their pike. Yeah. Or at least bring them alive so that when everyone else surrenders because they need them, can just kill them in front of them.
Yeah, because we know that those three people are the heads of those groups. They're like the leaders that make the others fight, right? Like Ezekiel was able to
gather up
and give courage to his people to go fight. Maggie organized the hilltop and not be passive.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Rick is Alexandria and stuff. So, yeah, once you kill those three, you're basically done.
Mm-hmm. For a little, at least it creates enough time to be able to reestablish a new dominance, because there are still other people in the group that could step up. But
yeah, not really though.
Exactly.
Not really. We know that, right? It took them to make them get the courage.
Yeah.
And also the way Negan treated Simon, saying like, oh, are we backsliding, Simon? Please tell me we're not backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something like this happened before.
Yeah.
And my kind of research has figured out that possibly they are referring to Oceanside, because what happened in Oceanside is they went in there and they killed all the men.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it was someone...
Maybe. It was Simon's decision or something, and now they got rid of all the men that could have been workers.
Right, and now we have a group that's isolated themselves and they don't know where they are and stuff.
That's a theory for sure, yeah.
That was kind of my idea behind the backsliding, is maybe Negan's referring to Simon's attack on Oceanside and how that wasn't in Negan's best... Negan didn't like that, basically. And then we hear the four gunshots, and then we make the merge back into episode one of this season, which we saw, and that's the connection. I also noticed more of Gavin being more nervous. Like, before Gavin walked out the door, he's like, oh my God, like, what is this? Like, so I noticed, like, in general, every time they show Gavin, they show him kind of not weak, but not 100%, you know, in fight mode, you know?
Or at least in aggressive mode.
Yeah. So I'm wondering.
I mean, every group has to have their least, they're not their aggressive, like, not everyone can be aggressive.
That woman, I forgot what her name, I don't know what her name was, but, Regina. Yeah. Regina. She was very aggressive. Like,
yeah,
kill them all.
Right.
But so Gavin wasn't, and I'm wondering if Gavin is going to be one of those people that doesn't support the whole group 100%. He backs out, or he maybe runs away. Who knows what?
I mean, wasn't he the one that buckled in the previous episode when they confronted? Didn't he say something?
Gavin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Negan, like, kind of shut him down.
Yeah. So then let's talk about the...
Yeah, we're trying to piece the timeline together. So right after this scene, Negan gets attacked and he gets trapped in the trailer. And then in the previous episode, Gabriel's trying to help Gregory. Gregory leaves and they both pile in. And then he also ends up being in the trailer. So this is left off from then.
Right. And then Negan rushes and grabs Gabriel's gun before he can use it. Gabriel's not going to kill Negan, okay? And we can't have Negan die yet, first of all, because it's not right in the storyline. Negan has to die at the end. I'm sorry. Negan's not going to die right now. So the purpose of this is just to get some insight into Negan and possibly Gabriel. But I like how Negan... They're giving us this. They're constantly giving us this idea of that Negan is evil. We don't like him because he killed Glenn. Okay, we don't like because he killed
it.
Glenn and Abraham.
And Abraham.
So to us, he is like the epitome of evil, right?
Right.
Because he killed our most favorite character.
Yeah, I'm like, the heck? That's unredeemable.
But if he had killed, like, I don't know.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, Like, okay, yeah, he's kind of evil, but hey, Gabriel had to go.
You know? Like, I didn't care that he sliced open that, the, what's it called, that the son of the Alexandria at Alexandria.
Yeah.
Rosita's hookup. I didn't care that he died. He needed to die.
Exactly. It did
us a favor.
All right. He didn't actually kill Sasha either. Technically, Sasha
killed
herself. So, hey.
And have you noticed every time they talk to someone, he tries to convert them?
Right. So I'm just trying to say that in this dialogue with Gabriel, he's saying, you think I'm evil? Like, look at Rick. He's just killing people all willy-nilly. At least when I kill people, like, I do it to save, I kill one to save 100 kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look at Rick and your guys. You're just blasting us, killing us left and right, as many as you can.
This whole thing started because Daryl decided to blow a motorcycle gang up with a bazooka.
RPG.
So we all know that the aggressors haven't always been the sanctuary.
Yeah. So even though you don't like Negan and his ways, and
regardless, he still has to die.
He still has to die because, you know, that's the thing. You know, think about all the people in the sanctuary that were rebelling, saying, hey, you guys promised us food and heat and air conditioning or whatever is broken down.
What the heck?
And how about all those people? What about them? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Negan's doing some good in this world, I think. He saved Morales and then Daryl killed him. So there you go.
There you go.
And Rick made the baby fatherless and now stole it. You know, I'm like, okay.
And it all goes back to the idea of, like, is our group really the good guys anymore? We're always going to think that because technically we are part of that group and they're all doing things to protect themselves, but at what cost?
And then Negan says, I've been helping people my whole life, one way or the other. You know why people are going to start dying in there? Because I'm not there to stop it. And he was right, because, you know, people were going crazy and even one guy shot a gun.
Right, because with no leader, there's chaos.
It was going out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. So, and he says Negan admits he was helping kids before. What do you think that means?
He used to work with children, whether it be special needs kids or he was like a PE teacher or something. I feel like he was a PE teacher.
Yeah, he
like
has
a football coach.
Yeah, he has the body and like the look of like a coach or something athletic.
Right.
I don't think he would be like a science teacher or something.
Maybe he worked at a children's hospital.
Yeah, maybe he was kind of a basketball.
Or maybe he was a social worker.
Basketball coach or something.
He could have been a social worker. But see, the thing is that this just doesn't add up. So he works with kids.
Uh-huh.
Generally, people who work with kids are great people. But he admits that while he knew his wife was sick, let's say cancer, but he said he like screwed around.
Mm.
Meaning he probably slept with other women because he couldn't sleep with his wife. His wife's too sick, or like he knew she was going to die. So he's like got depressed, would lie to her all the time about where he's going. How does a guy that helps children line up with a guy who is disloyal to his wife? It's one thing if, like, okay, a husband's disloyal to his wife and he has kids. How could he do that to his kids? But it's another thing because you make it your career to help children, you know?
Mm.
So the fact that you are disloyal to your own partner and you go to work every day to help children become better, it doesn't make any sense.
Not only were you disloyal to your wife, but while she was sick, like dying, you know? Basically.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he was helping troubled kids, like juvenile delinquents,
Who knows?
Cause he seems like that kind of guy. He knows how to work with bad people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows how to work with Simon and he knows how to work with all those other aggressive people. And like, he uses terms like backsliding, which is probably something he's had to use with kids who keep coming in and out of those houses or in and out of the, wherever they put bad kids for what before jail.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. Cause then he said, yeah, kids grow up to be terrible people. So if you start with them young.
Yeah.
But going back to what we said about the whole, like how she was sick.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, it could be possible. I'm just saying it could be possible. I mean, people like that exist, you know, they're bad. They're not great people. They're not great people. I guess they're trying to show that Negan had some bad in him because of what he did to his wife.
His first weakness.
But I think the actual confession was kind of weak because he said, I couldn't put her down when she went during the apocalypse. That's his confession.
Yeah, people couldn't put their their friggin' family down.
Morgan. Well, he did go a little crazy, but...
True.
But I'm just saying that's not like, okay, you couldn't put your wife down when she became a walker, but like, so? That's like the huge... I feel like Gabriel's confession is way, way, way worse than Negan's confession.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's talking there, because they're talking about moments of weakness.
Right.
And, you know, they're talking about, oh, wow, Negan opened up about his moment of weakness. Nothing can compare to Gabriel purposely locking out people to die.
I felt like he just said, like he had it in his pocket and he's like, okay, I'll give him this.
I'll just
to shut him up.
Sprinkle that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just like, give
okay,
him.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's my confession.
You happy now? Because
I mean, it sounded genuine.
No, it did until like.
Punched him in the face.
Yeah. Until Gabriel came out and he punched him in the face. Okay. You happy now? Let's get on to the next step of this process because.
I'm over it. Well, it just shows that Negan's character is evil and there is no redeeming qualities to him.
Yeah. So I just felt
like
that
he may show that he's a little bit human, but overall it's like, eh.
Yeah. So I felt that confession wasn't,
it was subpar.
Yeah. We didn't get a lot out of it. I was hoping a little bit more of his backstory. I wonder if that's all we get. I hope they give us a little bit more before
he
dies.
I hope Gabriel, part of his purpose is to open him up a bit.
Nah, he's done.
But when he looked at him, I don't know if we have this later. Oh, well, because he brings up, like, what about all the women you're marrying, you know? Or, like, you pressure to marry you.
And that. Oh, that.
Like, that kind of stung him a bit, you notice? He would bring up other people and other things he's done, but it's the marrying women is what. Well, maybe, well, you know what? Think about this. Yeah, we're like, he helps children and his wife is sick, but he still, you know, slept with it was disloyal. Well, maybe he has a problem, Dad. Maybe he's just like a sex addict, or maybe he's one of those people that's addicted to new relationships. You know, I definitely know people who can't not be in a new relationship because they just have to keep. They're just can't settle down, sit down for 1 second.
Well, maybe this explains why he has this weird rule at the sanctuary, like that women can't sleep around. Like you can't sleep around with women, and oh no, you can't rape them or something.
Right. So, you can't hurt. We can't against their will.
Yeah. So maybe it's because of what he did to his wife. I don't know. Maybe there's some connection there psychologically. Mm. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he says those women want to be there. Yeah. Right. But when, yeah, like you said, when Gabriel talks about his real wife, didn't you have a wife before? Then he got really upset.
I think he married them to protect them in a weird, sick way.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and Gabriel says you're weak, and Negan says I'm weak, but not by killing the innocent. Because Gabriel says you kill the innocent, but he feels that he doesn't care. He feels that whoever he's killed deserves to die.
Right,
like they're not innocent. That's his logic. The reason why I hate Negan is the way he talks and everything else surrounding him. But his core philosophy of what he's doing, I agree with. Yeah, this is the apocalypse. It's not democracy. Like you have to
you have to know the way the world works and then be the only one to implement it.
Yeah. However, we see the difference between his group and Rick's group. First of all, it doesn't matter whose group it is. When people don't have food and they're starving and they're dying,
they go crazy.
It doesn't matter if you're Rick or Maggie or Ezekiel. Your group is going to rebel and it's the end, right?
From the inside out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you're leading it. If you're leading it with an iron fist or a olive branch or whatever, then your people are going to rebel. So I feel on that level, they're all equal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. They all understand.
The question is, do you want to live with fear with Negan, or do you want to live with a little bit less fear with someone else? So that's, I guess, the bottom line.
I mean, I guess the group is just like, well, I'd rather stay here than anywhere else. At least we're working for some sort of life. And if you think about it, it's the same thing as the regular society anyway. We're all tied down by something, but the fact that we're allowed to spend money or have a house or roof over our head, we're willing to pay the price. You know, you think you're free.
We think we're free. What are we really?
Yeah, but are we really? That's like, Negan's basically like
we're slaves.
Government.
We're slaves to our job and our money and everything else.
Right, and then everybody and all the other groups are just like third world countries that we
America, the greatest.
Yeah, everybody else is, oh, well, at least we're not them, you know?
America's
and so
awesome.
When the sanctuary attacks other people, they don't feel broken up about it. It's like, well, at least they can't attack us. Now they're attacking us. They're like, yeah. Yo, bro, you promised. You promised protection in this hellhole.
What's up with that? Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. It was a little bit weird where that one woman's like, thank you, Negan.
Thank God for you.
Thank God. And Gabriel's like, what? Negan's what? God? I've been praying to the wrong... Ooh, I just made the connection. So Gabriel's praying to Negan because Negan's God. Okay.
No, whatever. Negan needs to go. This is too much.
So then Negan and Gabriel put the guts on and they go out there. How did you think about that part? Of course, Gabriel trips and falls. Of course.
But I thought it was so cool. Like, he opened the door and he just stood there and they all came in.
That was a good scene.
And they all walked out. And Negan was defending Gabriel. Well, I mean, he wants to use him for the future, so there was no real camaraderie there. It's just him like, all right, gotta save Gabriel because he can.
Well, they were just saving each other because Gabriel saved Negan as well. So,
all right.
You gotta do what
you
gotta do.
When it comes to the walkers, we're all equal.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like when two people are fighting, they're trying to kill each other, and then all of a sudden walkers come out of the forest. It's like,
unless you want to use them to kill that person.
It's like, pause. Let's go kill the walkers and then continue our fight.
And continue, yeah. It's just like, there's a waterfall coming right through this fight. Let's just pause and wait for it to go away.
Exactly. It's weird how human nature is like, we'll agree to a common enemy for a split second and then we'll continue killing each other.
That's evolution, man.
We're going back to the sanctuary before. The outpost heads at this point don't know if Negan's alive or dead.
Yes, they don't say it, but they're all thinking it. They're like, oh, where is he? Where is he?
And then people are fighting each other. And then Simon, or so, who says to Regina, like, do you forget who you are? Are you not Negan anymore?
Yeah. Because fear overcomes whatever beliefs they have. And it starts rising. And they're like, they have to remind each other. It's like, hey,
we're Negan.
Do you know who you are? Yeah. We're all Negan. Even if he isn't here. It's like Negan has built the system that runs itself.
Kind of, up to a point, until they have...
Up to a point, yeah.
The problem that they have is that they're outnumbered by the workers.
Mm-hmm.
All the other people, most of them are gone, and they're just a handful, and they're dealing with the workers, so that's the biggest threat right now. It's not the walkers, it's the workers. So let's listen to a clip from their discussion.
Someone in here made everything out there happen. We're having our little crisis management meeting about the rebellion in Alexandria. Us three outpost heads. And that's when they pile this crap on us. That's when they cut us off. Come on. They knows all and sees all. Sometimes it doesn't take a gun. The right kind of rat can kill plenty of people. Just some talk.
But it's not going to be us. And it doesn't have to be the workers.
Dwight, you got to face reality here.
No, Simon, we keep what's ours and we don't give up a damn thing. We get out. And I don't want to hear backbiting or pissing or moaning from you two.
You got a problem with that, come at me. You can't leave the Saviors out of here, I will.
So Dwight... covering his ass by jumping first into the argument to prevent people from starting to point fingers, right? He just changed the topic. The guy says, Gavin says, hey, you know, there's a rat in here. So he quickly switches the conversation to something else.
Yep.
And, you know, he looks all aggressive and stuff. So their goal is, based on what Dwight said, is try to get out of there, try to get the walkers, break free of the walkers and kind of get out. Because now they're trapped and they have limited resources, or limited food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest problem they have. And then we see a scene where Eugene visits Dwight, the one you were mentioning earlier that you were a little confused about, mm-hmm. and brings a jar of pickles, and that's probably a similar jar of pickles that Negan gave. Someone gave Eugene a jar of pickles when he arrived there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a peace offering. He brought the jar of pickles to Dwight. And it kind of trying to make Dwight like, hey, you know, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm glad you got my back. And Dwight's like, you were right back there. I didn't say anything more than that. So Dwight's like firing back, like, no, we're not best buddies. All I did right. was support your opinion. I don't have your back, basically.
Yeah, because he can't trust anyone.
Right. Yeah, so I'm interested to see if Eugene goes against Dwight and betrays him, like basically rats out on him, then there's no redemption for Eugene, really.
So, because that would have been his only chance.
Yeah, so I think Eugene will do something to complete his character arc, because his flaw right now is he's a coward.
Mm-hmm.
And he betrayed his friends by joining the the Saviors,
mm-hmm.
and supporting Negan. So the only way he can redeem himself is if he does something to fight back from the inside.
I mean, because now they have two rats, you know, and that would two rats are better than one rat.
Yeah, and plus Eugene has to do something for his character arc to make him redeem himself, right?
Exactly.
If he doesn't, then I don't see the point of his character at that point. So I think that he might do that. And then they have another meeting to discuss.
All these meetings!
Yeah, right. And then the barcode woman comes in and says, hey, they're coming up the stairs. They're coming up the stairs. And I like how they did that. Those lines like, oh, the walkers? No, the people. Like, not the walkers, the workers. They both start with W, but which is now, it's like, it's interesting how things can twist on a change right. on a dime. Like, oh,
yep.
You were afraid of the walkers. Now you're afraid of people.
The people. Hungry people are just like walkers.
Yeah. Someone pulls a gun and Regina kills him.
Mm-hmm. He's like, anybody else wants to?
Which I think had to happen because, I mean, somebody pulls a gun, but it was unfortunate because Negan saw it.
Well, that's why they got the guns. That's why Dwight got the guns to them in the first place, is to insinuate some problem between the two groups.
Yeah, I wonder why Dwight would do that.
Because he knew, because he's the one that brought up like, hey, we need to focus about the workers, because if the workers uprise, then it's like it breaks us from inside. You know, inside out, outside in, and you know, he hoped that something like that would happen. But
yeah,
I guess
he was
just waiting for it to be bigger. But then Negan shows up and says, we need to talk about how this happened, man.
Mm-hmm.
And now Dwight's like, shoot.
There goes my plan.
Right.
And then they have a meeting.
Another meeting.
Like you said, after he has a deep tissue massage.
Mm-hmm.
You need a deep tissue massage, Jasmine.
I do, honestly. I'll go on Groupon or something. I need like a meditation. I need like a whole like just dump me in a hot tub of mist and incense and
until you melt
music. Yeah, until I just melt me and put me back up together again.
And then they're trying to figure out who got the
guns.
You know,
you can get that for me for my birthday. Just give me a coupon for a deep tissue massage.
Okay, I will.
They have a meeting. They're talking about who got the gun. They drop the bag.
And then
that's where they look at each other.
We talked about this. Yeah, that Eugene gives Dwight the stink eye. And then Eugene visits Gabriel in the cell and he's sick and we think he's going to go get Carlson 2.0, Maggie's doctor. And I think that would be his redeeming factor there.
You think Gabriel will force Eugene to pick sides?
Yeah, so maybe we get two characters redeeming themselves in one shot. Two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Hopefully one will stay long enough and alive long enough to see it through.
Yeah. And that was that.
He's like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. why I'm here. That's why it's the reason we're here. I'm glad you wrote that down. I couldn't understand what he was saying. Yeah, now he's seeing his purpose.
Because he was like, why am I here? Why did I go save? Why did I try to save Gregory? That was stupid. Now I'm stuck in this trailer. But maybe this is why I'm here. Maybe this is my purpose. Right.
Right.
So maybe it turned out okay. Yeah. So that was that part of the whole sanctuary deal, and which is great because we found out what happened, and we have a small part of Rick and Daryl, which was kind of silly, but there was basically the fight between Rick and Daryl.
It's a catalyst of something bigger. It's the catalyst for what I think you were talking about. How it's like they look like they're winning, and then they're not going to win. And I think this is going to be part of the chink in the armor.
Yeah, and we saw some of this where Daryl was disagreeing with Rick and how Daryl is like, kill everyone, right? And Rick is like, well, maybe we shouldn't kill everyone.
Right.
And Daryl's like completely one-track mind. He's done. He's done with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they find...
time and time again, he's been relentless.
Yeah. And remember in the previous episode, I said, oh, they were walking in the wrong direction. I was right. They were walking in the wrong direction. They went back to the road and talked to the guy they flipped over.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, conveniently, his last dying breath is explaining what happened in the
that was easy
to Ezekiel, and about Ezekiel. And Carol is like, yeah, this crazy woman and the king and his partner are alive, but everyone else, like, in your dying breath, you're not gonna give a crap about explaining the story. You're just
recapping the play by play. Hey, they know that there's no satellites, or like there's no, like, you know, instant replay. So he has to do his part before he dies.
Yes. Word of mouth rules. So then he dies, and then they find explosives and everything. And Daryl's like, yoo-hoo, I found explosives. So let's listen to the audio clip of them arguing.
There we go.
We can use these now.
What?
Well, think about it. There ain't no kingdom no more.
Yeah.
We know what we gotta do.
Yeah.
We blow open the sanctuary.
Okay.
Let the walkers flood in. What? We'll surrender.
Shut up,
it'll be done. Hell, we need to end this by sundown.
They have workers in there, right? Families, too.
Are there? We'll hit the south side of the main building. The workers live in the north side. They'll be up the stairs before the walkers even get in.
What if they don't? There are people in there who aren't fighters. Doing this could change that. Make them pick up guns and stand by the saviors. And if the saviors don't surrender, maybe everyone fights us. And we don't have the kingdom anymore. We're not doing this.
I left the music in there because
it's so dramatic.
It's like it was a standoff, really, right? They were just looking at each other, yeah. Like, what are we going to do now? Like, I disagree with you. We both disagree. What do we do? Time to fight.
I see. That's how I feel. That's what I'm like. Why are they doing this? Why are they got to do this? Well, I get it. Everybody wants to kill Negan. But again, it's not about them.
Well, there's a couple reasons why they did this. First of all, they had to find a way to get rid of the guns and the explosives.
Yes.
So yeah. They blew them up that way, because in this season, every episode has to have an explosion. I think it's part of the script. Every episode
mandatory.
Has to have an explosion. And so they had to get rid of the weapons. That was like a plot hole. It's like, okay, we have all these weapons. Now what? We can use these. But
there has to be a division of...
We have to get rid of them so they're not part of the plot. So they blew him up, which is fine. But also, we had to have Daryl show how determined Daryl is. Because I think he's going to cause some problems later on. Like, he's the one who's going to... Because he's going to cause problems that are going to come to a head at the end of this half a season. Because he's the only, you know, problem in the plan, in Rick's perfect plan, right? Him and a bunch of other people, so...
They're the people that could cost us, because it's like, this is a plan that might finally work. This is one of Rick's plans that'll actually work, and now it's not because of other people. It's really everybody else and their egos.
So let's talk about the little scene where Rick sees a helicopter.
Oh my gosh, game changer! Can I just say
game changer?
Game changer. Do you know what that is? It's a game changer. When he saw that, and then like they had that that music, it's like, and they looked up like a newborn child looking up at their mom for the looking into the world for the first time. It kind of reminded me of this book I used to read where all of a sudden this bubble came over this town, and everybody that was older than 13 disappeared.
Right.
And they ended up outside of the bubble.
Is it Childhood's End?
Something like that.
Is that the one?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then it just became this thing. It was like, oh, all the children are running amok and like they're fending for themselves. And there's like group leaders. And it's like,
book.
Oh, everyone. No, that's what everyone. It's like everybody's up for themselves. And like, you're like rabbit animals, like, And then when somebody comes in, or like when the bubble is released, like, what? Society? Real things? It's kind of like, what the heck? A helicopter? I haven't heard one of those in 3 years. It's like, you think that world is gone, especially at a time where there's like, it's like monkeys discovering humans and their machines. It's like Planet of the Apes. It's like the world's crying. It's like, what? It's like this whole, it's like they're rediscovering everything all over again.
Any more analogies?
Sorry. Hey. Well, it was really interesting. He's just like,
yeah. Because like that's a sound that you haven't heard in several years. So your mind is kind of has to adjust.
You have to remember again.
Remember that, that's a sound of a helicopter.
And that automatically means this person has more power than I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that this is going to be played out in this season, or is it something like...
I think it's a long-term game here.
Yeah. Because I think
there's too much stuff going on.
This happened in the season one too. Remember when Rick was walking in Atlanta, he looked and he saw a helicopter.
That was season one.
Yeah, they never really explained it. But there was there was one season during the governor era where there was a helicopter, a military helicopter that got shot down or that crashed, and then the governor found the pilots and stuff. Mm. So it's possible that that was explaining the Atlanta helicopter. But mm-hmm. this helicopter could be just a nod to season one, like a callback and say, hey, just a nod to that. Or it could mean something. I don't know. Like, there's another group somewhere that we're going to meet.
Yeah, back in Fear the Walking Dead, when there was a lot of helicopters, there was a lot of military, just because it was early in the apocalypse. So to see something like this now, it's just like there's still a military presence somewhere out there. And if there is one, it's probably not the government.
No, it's not.
It's probably somebody who's got access to those things, but it doesn't mean that has access to government. But I also think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens if you just drop, like, whatever's happening in this war, if you just dropped the government or like military or anybody that has authority into the middle of it. They're like, stop it. They just show up, you know?
Yeah.
With all this firepower from the present day or our present day.
Do you think
Negan and Rick will put aside their differences to whatever
fight them or go with them.
Whatever they will do. I have no idea. They're like rabid animals. Remember when Negan saw the files of when Rick first came to Alexandria, how rough they were? They were like animals.
Yeah.
So imagine the military seeing them like animals.
Well,
what do you think they'll do?
Who knows? But there could be multiple explanations for it. I mean, it could be like a big force like the military, or it could be like a group that just found a helicopter and that's all they got. It's just one helicopter,
right.
You know?
Right.
Or just
like an air base that has held it down for so long.
Yeah. So it could be many different things. One theory that's circulating on the internet is that the helicopter belongs to the trash people. But
they're scrapping the metal from cars and stuff. They're not building anything.
Yeah. Someone said they saw a helicopter pad in the junkyard in one of the scenes of the past season. But I just find it hard to believe that the junk people have a helicopter. It doesn't go with their character, their personality.
With their character thing. They want to scavenge and keep themselves.
Yeah. So it doesn't go with their character. But the helicopter could be just a sign for some future season that a new group that we haven't seen yet, you know?
Maybe the close of the season of the series.
Yeah.
Like, hey, the government's back. Okay, everyone go back to your...
It's not the government, Jasmine. Stop saying... It's just some group that found a helicopter. I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's not... The government doesn't exist. It's over. It's gone. Kaput.
Okay.
Finito.
Burst my bubble.
Yes, it's burst. Completely smashed. Obliterated. but another interesting aspect of it is that if it is, it's not the government, but it could be another group that's way more powerful than Rick and Negan. Like you said, it's possible. Like they show up and then what does Rick and Negan do, right? They surrender? Do they combine forces? Do they, who knows what?
Yeah. And how do they feel about, you know, now they're no longer in charge? I mean, Rick will be fine. He's already giving up his place to Maggie, and he was a former cop, but Negan's what would he think?
Yeah. If Negan survives this war, you know, maybe Rick wins and mm-hmm. Rick's the only one to deal with it. it also kind of reminds me of like humans and ants, like Rick and Negan are little ants.
There you go with the analogies again, Dad. I was just using them. That's a good one, though.
Rick and Negan are just ants fighting against between two anthills, and like a human comes back with his big boots and just stomps them. So like while Negan and Rick are fighting their little petty war down here, there's another group that has like helicopters and they're flying.
All everything else.
They're just higher level dominance, you know? And then we see at the end, after this magical helicopter, that Rick finally arrives at the trash people, and that leads into what's happening in the next episode. So we're going to talk about now the crossover announcement that happened. And if you don't want to hear about the crossover, you can just skip over this section. But we're going to talk about the crossover. So you've been warned. So the big crossover announcement is that Morgan, Lenny James from The Walking Dead is going to cross over to Fear the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Thoughts.
I like it a lot because he's a talented actor and he can do that. And he wasn't really part of the whole, I mean, he's part of The Walking Dead, but he can come in and out. He has that beauty as a character.
Yeah.
And so I think he'll be really great for the next, for Fear of the Walking Dead. I can't wait to see him interact with Madison.
So basically, our prediction was kind of correct that it would be someone from The Walking Dead crossing over to Fear of the Walking Dead, because Fear of the Walking Dead needs the ratings, right?
Right. No, yeah, I guess so. I thought the Fear of the Walking Dead was doing good, or doing well.
It was doing okay, but not as good as The Walking Dead. They want to boost it up. And it's already kind of working, because from what I've, some of the comments I read were like, oh, maybe I should go watch Fear the Walking Dead now that Morgan's going to be on there.
There you go.
I got to go back. I got to go back and catch up, right? I got to find out what's... But spoiler alert, I have a feeling that because there's new showrunners, I have a feeling that if you didn't even watch season 1 to 3 of Fear the Walking Dead, it doesn't matter, because I think they're going to just start a whole new... I think so. I have a feeling that they're going to reboot it. Not reboot it like change all the characters, but like... Change location. Yeah, because
I like it.
Well, the problem with Morgan going to Fear the Walking Dead is the timelines don't work because
you're not doing a flashback.
Well, that's the thing. If the only time Morgan has to go back in time is after he met Rick in season 1, before he'd been crazy. He would have to travel to where Madison and her group are, and then do whatever he does in that show, and then come back and then do the Clear episode where he went crazy, right? In the past.
Yeah.
Because after Clear, he met the karate guy and he became good. So when did he go back and meet Madison? So this is my personal opinion. A lot of people think that this won't happen, but I think it will. I think in Fear the Walking Dead, they're going to skip forward in time. They're going to skip forward to...
Yeah.
They're going to do a time jump. They're going to tell a time jump several years, maybe 1 year or 2 years, I don't know, and come up to the time where the present... Come to the present, basically.
Come to the regular Walking Dead time.
Yeah. That's my feeling. And then that way, Morgan can transition... So, there's two ways Morgan can leave the Walking Dead. He can either die... And
he's not going to, though.
We don't know.
He's not going to. He said that the Morgan has a lot more left to do on the show.
Before he dies.
Yeah, well. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying, you're like, right. He could die. And at that point, it is a flashback, right? Then that proves, okay, it's going to be a flashback because Morgan is going to die. And there's no more story for Morgan.
You don't think he's going to come back to The Walking Dead? He could come back to The Walking Dead.
Yeah, he could. I mean, so what I'm saying is he could, if he dies, then the only story they can tell of Morgan on Fear the Walking Dead is the past.
Is the past.
Right. If he doesn't die and he just gets his staff and his little bag of goodies and walks into the forest, he could...
He already did. He already did walk into the forest. He dropped his stuff. He's like, I can't be a part of this. And he left.
I know, but I think that's temporary. I think they're going to bring him back before the end of the season.
Okay, fine.
But I think he could leave again. And say, okay, I'm going west.
Another discovery, yeah.
I'm going west. Why not? And I'm going to meet up with Madison. And the only way they could do that is if they move up the Fear of the Walking Dead timeline to match The Walking Dead.
That's true.
However, if he dies on The Walking Dead, and then they talk about the past, then
how would he get to California or that area?
Exactly. And also all the tension is gone because we know that he's dead already in the future.
So what kind of purpose would he have in that show?
He's invincible now.
Right.
Cause we already know
he'll never die.
We know his death, right?
Right. No, he'll have to meet them afterward. This isn't a past. I feel like his past is the beginning of the apocalypse, his family dying, him going on a clearing and his having this rejuvenation and then meeting the Alexandrians. I don't think it's in the past. I mean, I'd like to think it's not in the past. I don't know. I'm okay with anything because I really like Fear the Walking Dead. I just hope they don't screw it up.
Well, they're trying to do something to rejuvenate it, and I think they know that people like Morgan, the actor Morgan, who plays Morgan, and they're hoping that they're going to do something there with that show and rejuvenate it and stuff. And if they do bring it up to the current timeline, it serves multiple purposes. First of all, it'll allow Morgan to just walk over or drive over. Mm-hmm. And it also allows for future crossovers.
That's true. Easier,
right? Then other people can just, instead of dying, they can just walk
over. Come and go and, yeah.
Walk over.
Walk over.
Hey, guys.
Extend their contract with the AMC.
Right, right. So, I mean, if I was Lenny James, I'd be like, hey, do you want us to kill you off? Or do you want to just keep working in this other show or whatever? So I was like, yeah, sure.
Heck yeah.
So I don't know. I don't want the past Morgan, to be honest. I don't want his.
No, I didn't like past Morgan. I want there to be like, I've come from so much and I have wisdom, and to slap some sense to those people so they can get with the program.
And we know his wisdom. We know what he's been through. Like if you bring him to the past, it's like you wipe that slate clean. It's like that doesn't exist now.
Yeah.
That would be kind of a waste.
As an actor, that must be hard too, to like, I have to go back to the beginning of this character. Ugh.
Yeah, like all the experiences we got to know Morgan with are going to be wiped clean. So
it's like his arc has been restarted.
Yeah, I don't like that. I wish they don't do that. I hope they don't do that.
Or maybe Morgan was in California when it started with his family, and they finally made it back home, and then they all died.
So that would be like a really old story.
Yeah, that'd be really too old. Yeah. Maybe, but you know, Rick woke up a while into the apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, maybe Morgan gets hit over the head and has amnesia, and he doesn't remember anything.
Okay, let's stop. We're getting too much into the theories.
Yeah. So it was interesting how AMC announced it. They made a big deal about it. They teased it as we said a few episodes ago, and they made a big announcement on Talking Dead where Lenny James came up and said, "Hey."
It's me.
Yeah.
It's me.
And I like how they did it on purpose. Like they build it as part of their marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the day that he announced it, the next day he was going to go filming on Fear the Walking Dead.
Right.
And I think they timed it so it's like, okay, let's announce it now because
you don't have to keep hiding.
Once he's on the set, someone's going to leak photos or something and they're going to spoil it anyway. So let's make the announcement ourselves to keep ahead of it, you know?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And take advantage of the marketing hype. So I think it worked because I think it's going to make people rewatch old Fear the Walking Dead and that type of thing. So I like Fear the Walking Dead. it's one of those shows that's divided the fan base because there's people that like completely hate it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm one of those people that are just like,
it's okay.
I really like it. I like Fear the Walking Dead. I wouldn't say more than The Walking Dead, maybe sometimes, but it's just like, it's like the aunt that travels all the time that always comes back with gifts. So you like hanging out with them sometimes.
Well, I like the dynamic between the kids and Madison.
I love that. That's like something. It's like, ooh, hip kids.
Well, I like the dynamic between the kids and they seem more real. Like, I think the dialogue on Fear the Walking Dead seems more real.
More grounded.
Than the dialogue in The Walking Dead. The dialogue in The Walking Dead seems like...
It's all metaphors.
Every time someone talks, it's like this amazing sentence that you can analyze it and discover hidden meanings and...
Yeah, like, metaphors. Sorry, metaphors.
You know what I mean? Like, every line on The Walking Dead is like... perfectly crafted and real people don't really talk like that, I think. But on the Fear of the Walking Dead, they say some normal things too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's more real, the dialogue is more real. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
No, I agree.
Yeah. So that's a big reveal. Morgan is going on Fear of the Walking Dead. Wish him all the best.
Yeah. Didn't know if it was going to be a guest star thing or a full length thing. But it looks like it's a full length thing.
Yeah. They showed pictures from the set, and he's already sitting down with Madison and the other characters and reading through scripts and stuff.
Wow, nice.
You know how they do the readings in a room? Like, mm-hmm. they read, like, he was already there.
Table reads, Dad?
Table reads, yes, the official name. He was already there at Table Reads working on stuff, so he's part of the main show already. I assume episode one, so he's at the Table Reads, so that'll be interesting. And remember how we left Fear the Walking Dead? For those that haven't seen it, we won't spoil it. But
right,
it
left, I know, I'm so tempted.
It was left in shambles, so it's interesting to see how they recover from that.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities, and I'm just excited to see... I always say this. I'm just excited to see what happens because I'm sick and tired of guessing. I just don't want to be disappointed or look stupid for thinking something that's so outrageous. But I just hope that the timelines catch up to the current time. And well, shouldn't it be hard? The slate has been wiped clean for that season.
Yeah, and some people are saying, well, if they move the Walking Dead timeline forward to the present, then that would be a sign of defeat on the Fear of the Walking Dead creators.
Like they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do like a timeline like this, and they should have made it equal. I would disagree. I would say they're just regrouping. They're like, yeah, we've done three seasons, you know, and now we have new showrunners. Let's shake it up a bit. Let's do a time skip. I mean, they kind of did this in The Walking Dead already, right? In the past. Like, remember there was a time where it was summer and then it was winter or something? It was like a whole year went by. I think it was the prison or something. Or was it before the prison?
Yeah, they have these weird jumps, but it fits.
Yeah, there was one time where they jumped like almost a year.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please tell your friends and everyone you know. We love to get new subscribers. You can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive!